Hey guys, this is Shru and you are listening to Bioscope. Hope you all had a good holiday and a great 2021 and are staying safe during these challenging times. I know I've been a little MIA, but I hope to upload episodes more frequently. Today, we are going to discuss yet another backyard favorite, the beloved butterfly. Also, we have a very special guest, Cheen, who will be joining us for this episode. Welcome, Cheen. So happy to have you with us.
Hey, Shru. Thank you for having me. I've been following your podcast since the very first episode, so I'm super excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you here as well. So tell me, what do you know about butterflies? Maybe we can start there.
So I guess the last time I learned about butterflies was back in school. And what I remember is that butterflies have four life stages, where they start with the egg, and then comes the caterpillar stage, or the larva, and then the cocoon stage, or the pupa, and finally the adult butterfly. The egg stage usually lasts about 3 to 7 days, and from that, a tiny caterpillar hatches, which I know is an eating machine. The cocoon or pupa shell is developing underneath the caterpillar's skin. This shell can take many forms and shapes depending on the species of butterfly. Once the caterpillar is firmly in place, the exoskeleton splits, exposing the pupa. Most butterfly species will stay in the cocoon for about 1 to 2 weeks before the butterfly emerges.
Wow, I think you know more than what I thought you would. That's amazing. And what you just described here is called metamorphosis. Now, each of these four stages are very unique to each species of butterfly. When a butterfly emerges from the shell, its wings are very crumpled. The butterfly will hang with its wings down and will begin pumping the wings, which is full of fluids, to straighten them out. Then, the butterfly will have to wait several hours for the wings to harden and dry before it can fly away. One more tidbit. Different varieties of butterflies live for different periods of time. Now, the most famous one in the US is the monarch butterfly, which looks more orangish and black. And they actually live for a mere 2 to 6 weeks. But if they migrate, they can go up to 3 to 4 months. The painted lady, another famous butterfly on the other hand, can live up to 12 months.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. And they are so beautiful to look at. I wish they could live longer. But, well, that's nature, I guess.
I know, right? So disappointing. So the beautiful patterns and colors actually come from layers of thousands of tiny scales, which are produced by pigments, and each scale in the wing has a single color. Now, this actually creates such awesome patterns and colors, but they also help the butterfly to blend in the environment to avoid predators.
Oh, that's an interesting fact, but I have to ask you this. Do they drink the nectar from the flowers? And do they eat or drink anything else in general?
Indeed, you are right. So we've seen most of the butterflies drink nectar from flowers. But actually, some adult butterflies get food from other sources, such as the sap that flows from a tree, the pollen, the rotting fruit, dung, and even bird droppings. So I know there's a lot more to cover about the butterflies. But let's start by talking about its evolution. These are some things that we don't usually find in our school textbooks. Now, scientists have been studying the origins of butterflies for so long. And many scientists think that the specialized association between today's butterflies and the flowering plants suggests that butterflies developed during the Cretaceous period, often called the age of the flowering plants. And this happened about 65 million to 135 million years ago, a time when dinosaurs also roamed the earth. Now, their soft bodies actually do not preserve well in the fossil record, because of which we don't have too many research studies on the butterfly evolution. But for those that do exist, like the 40-million-year-old Prodryas persephone, I hope I pronounced that right, they are very remarkably similar to the modern-day forms of butterflies. Now, with the latest technology in genetic engineering, scientists have traced nearly 3,000 genes to the earliest common ancestors of butterflies and moths. Now, the challenge with the butterflies is that their soft bodies do not preserve well in the fossil record, because of which we don't have a whole lot of research studies related to the evolution of butterflies.
Oh wow, that 65 million year history just sounds like a really long time ago. So I have a question for you now. What do the butterflies do all day long, especially since their time span is so limited? They sound very similar to the bees that you discussed a few episodes ago.
That is true. There is a lot of similarities between the bees and the butterflies in that they have nectar and their lifespan is very short. But if you think about the adult butterflies, they actually have two basic jobs, to eat and to reproduce. Now, every activity or every behavior that they exhibit is related to these two factors. Now, when you visit the butterfly house, take time to notice what the butterflies are actually doing. One of the most common behaviors of the butterfly is called basking. Now, butterflies are cold-blooded, which means that they do not generate enough heat from their own metabolism to provide them with the heat and energy that they need to fly. So therefore, butterflies rely on heat absorbed from the sun. And this is exactly what they do. You might see butterflies with their wings outstretched, sitting in a patch of sunlight, trying to absorb more heat. The other kinds of behavior that butterflies exhibit can be called the three P's. That's puddling, patrolling, and perching. Now, you've probably seen all three of these actions when you've observed your butterflies, but you most likely had no idea what these beautiful creatures were doing. Puddling is when quite a few butterflies congregate at the wet edge of sandy areas or mud puddles. The patrolling and perching activities all have to do with mating, and usually the male butterflies will seek out the female butterflies during those times.
I have observed these in butterflies, but I didn't know it was such an important part in their survival. So do all butterflies, like any other insect, have a compound eye? Do they have any other senses like touch or taste or smell?
Yes, definitely. So like most insects, butterflies have a compound eye, and it allows them to see in various directions at the same time. The butterfly's eye can also detect ultraviolet light radiating from the flowers. The eyes can also spot color patterns on flowers that indicate where the nectar is in the flower. On the other hand, however, they're not very good at judging distance or perceiving patterns. And I'm not sure they really require that. The images are not united into one continuous picture. And butterflies apparently see the world as a series of still photos rather than a movie.
Oh, I wish there was some kind of simulation of how butterflies look at this world that we live in. And it's so fascinating to know that the world looks so different to us compared to how they look at it.
Yes, definitely. I recently saw a show on Netflix that's called Life in Color, and I think everybody should look at it. They do have some kind of, you know, images or pictures of how butterflies look at the world and the flowers and how they get to the nectar and so on. I would highly recommend that. Now, let's move on to other senses. Now, butterfly senses don't work in quite the same way as mammal senses. They don't have noses or ears, but they do have 6 feet that do quite a lot of sensory work for them. In general, butterflies appear to have poor hearing. The larvae seem to respond to sudden noises, and you can actually experiment with this. Now, go next to a monarch larvae and clap loudly near them, and you will see the startled response immediately in that larvae. However, if you keep clapping repeatedly, the butterfly will actually get used to the noise and stop responding. This phenomenon is called habituation. And this occurs in a lot of us as well. If we live in a very crowded environment, we slowly start getting habituated to the noises that we start ignoring them. Now let's go to their sense of smell. Adult butterflies sense most smells through their antenna, which are densely covered with chemoreceptors, especially on the clubs. And they also tend to sense pheromones released by the male during the mating process.
I actually saw Life in Color myself on Netflix, and they actually showed this in action, and it was really interesting to watch. They also mentioned that butterflies can perceive polarized light and use it to move around the habitat and for migration. Until then, I didn't know butterflies actually migrate.
Yes, that's a very interesting thing about the butterflies. Now, they have such a short lifespan, and within that short lifespan, they migrate thousands of miles. And all this just for survival. For example, the monarch butterflies travel thousands of miles during their migration across North America, with some traveling all the way from Canada to Mexico in a single season.
Maybe we can learn something from these butterflies to design our drones that we have today, somewhat like biomimicry.
Chin, you hit the nail on the head. You might think butterflies have an unfair advantage over battery-powered aerial vehicles like the drones, since they can always stop to consume nectar and, you know, recharge. You know, butterflies can certainly refuel if they can, but they actually don't necessarily do. Butterflies make these journeys powered by small reserves of stored lipids or fats. They can fly so much more efficiently than drones, in part by soaring. They seek out thermal columns and mountain waves, and they hold their wings steady and ride the rising air like a vulture, hawk, or an eagle.
Oh, wow. I think that can be very useful when designing things and in engineering in general. So I have a question. Is this migration pattern seen only in monarch butterflies, or are they seen for all different kinds of butterflies?
Now, some butterflies in India have also exhibited this migration pattern. Now, every year, two seasonal butterfly migrations occur between the western and eastern Ghats of the Indian Peninsula, all in search of food and survival. Now, this usually happens around May to June, where they migrate to the eastern Ghats due to the southwest monsoon, and then return back around September or October. Now, the interesting fact here is that in 2020, after a gap of 8 whole years, scientists noticed early migrations of these butterflies. And they realized that this was due to heavy rain in the eastern Ghats during the southwest monsoons. So we can learn a lot from these butterfly migrations, and they're actually bioindicators. And early migration means an arrival of early monsoon. Now, with climate change altering weather phenomena across the world, tracking and studying seasonal butterfly migrations have assumed a greater significance.
I actually recently read an article online about the decreasing population of butterflies. Is that true? Is climate change and global warming really contributing to the decreasing population?
Yes, definitely. And that's where I guess we are getting to right now. It is that climate change has had a huge impact on declining butterfly population. But it is not the only cause. Human habitation and poaching are also some major reasons. Now, while we've seen the monarch population rise and fall slightly year over year, the eastern population of the North American monarch butterfly has been on a steady decline. According to the latest survey, the monarch's forest presence in the winter season of 2020 occupied just over 5 acres, a 26% decrease from the previous year. Now, changes in butterfly behavior has also been observed in India. The Ministry of Environmental, Forest and Climate Change carried out a survey and realized that some of the butterfly species migrated to considerably higher altitudes compared to before. As you can see, climate change and global warming has had a huge impact on butterfly migrations as well as their population.
That just sounds so disheartening that the population is decreasing. So what do you think we can do about this? Like, what can we do to stop this?
That is a great question. I think we all have a part to play in this, in improving the butterfly population. Well, for starters, check out our carbon footprint episode where we talk about how you can reduce your carbon footprint and make an impact in combating climate change. But you can also help directly by participating in the One Square Foot campaign organized by the Worldwide Fund, or the WWF. One square foot of space in your backyard or your front patio, or even a window box, is all you need. Now, you can do this by planting native wildflowers in your own space and helping monarchs and other butterflies get their nectar source and food source. Now, this in turn also helps other bumblebees and hummingbirds in your area. So why don't you give it a try? You can check out the link in the description box.
Wow, I'm definitely doing that this spring and having my own patch of wildflowers in my near my window. I learned a lot of new things today from you. Like, there was a lot of new facts that I hadn't heard of before. And I think the next time I ever see a butterfly just flying about in the air, it's never going to be the same.
I am so glad you could join us and that you feel like you've learned something new from this episode. And as listeners, I hope you guys learned something new as well. Hope you guys liked this episode. If you liked it, follow us on Instagram at bioscope_podcast or email us at bioscope.podcast@gmail.com.